You guys, I just lost my computer screen and I can't. I know I've got Mick on the phone. Mick, I know you're, I think it's Mick Dumke, right?
It is indeed, yes.
So,
and my whole computer screen just went black, and I'm like, I think I know his name by heart. I know he's an investigative reporter for Block Club Chicago, and I know you're the person or your team actually had to take advantage of the FOIA Act to find out how many people from ICE or how many people ICE has arrested in the Chicago area, right?
Yeah, I mean, you just described kind of what's happening right now with all of us in the news business. Like, we're relying on anecdotal information. We all have reporters out on the street, of course, but we're having a difficult time finding out in any kind of solid, accurate way exactly what ICE and other immigration agencies are up to. So it's just really difficult in real time. You ask the agencies themselves. It's not like the Chicago Police Department. It's not like the U.S. Attorney's Office where they will give you like specific details of an arrest, or they'll present a case in the court system. This is we're dealing with agencies that by design don't want to reveal that information along the way, and so we have to rely on other means, ranging from on-the-ground reporting, like you were talking about your colleagues reporting from Elgin, or we have to do what I did and my teammates have done, which is to use the Freedom of Information Act and then subsequently file lawsuits to try to get information.
So you filed the lawsuit, and what did you find out?
Well, we filed a lawsuit on this was several months ago, and we asked for records just for a short time period, the first 10 days after President Trump's second inauguration. We wanted to just take a snapshot and essentially use it as a sample case so that we can, you know, certainly we're interested in the information that happened at that time, but just so that we can find this approach of trying to get information, solid information generally from immigration and customs enforcement. So that's the backdrop, Lisa. To answer your question directly, what we found out is just in those first 10 days after Trump's inauguration, more than just about 400 people were arrested in the Chicago region that ICE covers. And that includes both the state of Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, and then a couple other states to our west. So within the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, we found there were more than 50 people arrested in those first 10 days in the city and more than 120 people in the state. And I'm using imprecise terms like more than instead of giving you exact numbers because the records we have, even after months of litigating, literally litigating to get these records, the records have a lot of blank spots. They have a lot of redactions. So we basically have a glimpse of what's going on, but we have a lot of information that's still missing and a lot of questions that remain.
You know, Mick, I think a lot of the answer a lot of us want, or the information a lot of us want, are the percentage of these deportees who have committed offenses. I suspect that's not the sort of information that you're getting.
We got some of it. We got a little bit, and then there are some other groups nationally that have also gone to court and gotten some of this. So what we can tell, just for example, from the let's take the I think it was 53 people, or I won't say people, they're 53 non-named lines in a spreadsheet, 53 arrests that happened during this time period in the city of Chicago, and about 40% of them were people who did not have any kind of criminal background, according to the ICE records. So about 60% allegedly had criminal charges or past criminal background, and about 40% did not. It appeared to be a civil immigration violation that they were being arrested for.
And how do people find their people if someone is missing? How do they know if they were taken by ICE? If you, after all of this work, haven't been able to identify who has been taken by ICE, how can loved ones find their family members?
I think it's extremely difficult. If you know the person's name, and well, let me answer your question this way first. when we contact ICE asking about a specific arrest or incident, they will sometimes, well, most of the time they don't respond at all. When they do, they'll say, what's the person's name and their country of origin? And we don't know that. That's why we're asking. So it becomes this weird loop that you can't get the information unless you already have some information. Now, for family members, attorneys, other advocates, they have some information. There is a way that you can plug someone's name into an online database and see where they're being held, but that's not updated all the time. And if you're a member of the public or, like me, a member of the media, just trying to find out who all these people were, what their backgrounds were, what happened to them along the way, you can't do that. You need to have the name or some kind of identifying information before you can find out all these, you know, these 400 people I talked about. I can't figure out what happened to them in any kind of precise way without knowing their names, and the government won't release their names. So even after we filed litigation, they refused to give the names of people who've been arrested.
Have you ever dealt with a governmental agency that has been this secretive before?
No, I've dealt with a lot of secretive agencies. I've filed a lot of lawsuits over FOIA violations against entities, you know, that include like the mayor's office of Chicago. But this is a whole different ballgame. They just don't think that they need to share this information with the public. And in case it's not clear to all of your listeners, I'm not weighing in on whether these arrests were justified or not. I'm just saying that in the United States, I don't believe people should be disappeared and that we should have a public accounting of who these people were, what their backgrounds are. If ICE is doing what it says it's doing, I think a lot of the public will actually support it if they truly are going after people who are public safety threats. You know, I think there's going to be widespread support for that. So if that's the case, then show us. Show us the records.
Thank you so much for joining us. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.